One of the most fundamental aspects of our religion is the deep belief that in the Torah, means the entire Torah generally, but most specifically the Tanakh, the Bible, and even more specifically, most importantly, the Chumash, the five books of Moses, the belief that in the Torah there is not one extra word or even extra letter. And this is important when you approach the study of Torah, that if you ever do see a word or a letter that seems to be superfluous, there's actually mountains and mountains of meaning that we look for and we interpret and we explain with scriptural exegesis and other explanations. But this idea, this belief is not only in order to be able to learn Torah, but this belief comes from believing that the Torah is the Word of God, the Torah is the infinite revelation of God, that God Almighty chose to reveal Himself in these words and letters. And as the Ramban, Nachmanides, already explains in his introduction to Chumash, that the entire Torah are the names of God, they're the revelations of God. So of course there cannot be a superfluous word or letter just, you know, for poetic license or something like that. This belief is probably most challenged in this week's parsha. Because although when it comes to the rest of Chumash, sometimes anyone that learns Talmud, that learns Gemara, knows that the Gemara will be medayik, will be exacting and precise in every letter and every word and explain why it says this letter or this word. In this week's parsha, the whole long story of Eliezer's mission to go find the Shidduch, to find the wife of Yitzchak, and it's a very long story with many, many verses. And it's not only written once, but it's reviewed twice. When Eliezer tells Besuel, the father of Rivka, the story, it has a whole bunch of verses that he says the entire story again. In fact, Genesis chapter 24, which is the chapter in this week's parsha of this whole story, has in it 67 verses. 67 verses, one of the longest chapters in the entire Tanakh, the entire Bible. And Chazal, the sages, quoted by Rashi already, discuss what's up with this whole long-winded, huge story again and again being repeated not even once but twice. And Chazal, the sages, answer that we see from here that Yafa Sichasan shall avde avos mitayrosan shall banim, that the sicha, the conversations, the stories of the servants of the patriarchs, just the conversations, the actual story of Eliezer, of the servant of the patriarchs, is even greater than the Torah that will be learned later by the offspring, by the progeny, by the children. In other words, this conversation, the story of Eliezer somehow, is even more important than the actual Torah that the children that we will learn in generations coming. Somehow that story of Eliezer is more relevant to our lives some way than even Torah that we learn, which is why it's written with such a length, all the verses in this week's parsha. What does that mean? Why? What is it about his story that makes it like that? So there's a beautiful teaching from the Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe. And he says, because the Avos, the patriarchs, are all blessing. They're complete blessing into the world. Avram began the 2,000 years of Torah. He brought tremendous blessing to the world. And even though we come from the patriarchs that were all about complete blessing and purity and goodness, but not all of us are able to live like that in our lives, to be exactly like the patriarchs. And somehow Eliezer was the bridge. And the Sfas Emes explains, because we know, as Rashi says at the beginning of the parsha, that Eliezer originally wanted his daughter to marry Yitzchak. He wanted that his own daughter should marry Yitzchak. And Avraham told Eliezer, his servant, that my son can't marry your daughter because you come from Canaan. Eliezer was a descendant of Canaan, the son of Noach, who was cursed. And your offspring are cursed, and the cursed cannot cleave to the blessed. But the Sfas Emes points out that later on in verse 31, that when Eliezer is told, Boy Bruch Hashem, you are blessed to God, Boy Bruch Hashem, in verse 31, the Medrash asks, if Eliezer comes from Canaan and he's cursed, how could he be told, Boy Bruch Hashem, you are blessed to God? And the Medrash says that because he served Abraham faithfully, because he did the will of his master, and which is the will of Hashem, because of all his efforts, Yotza Miklal Oror Leklal Baruch, he left the category of being cursed and he became blessed. And says the Ger Rebbe that he's the beginning of that transition from a cursed life to a blessed life. And therefore the Ger Rebbe says that the reason that the Torah has to repeat this whole lengthy story is because Eliezer is the one that showed all of us. He prepared the path for all of us that feel cursed in life, that live a cursed life, or somehow we feel cursed, to be able to come into the Klal of Baruch, to be able to also become Baruch Hashem, blessed to God. Eliezer was that bridge that somehow the patriarchs weren't able to give, because they never entered that realm of being cursed. Eliezer did give it. And we have are able to enter that path of blessed, even if we might live in a way of cursed, because of Eliezer and because of this whole long story that this parsha says. That's the Ger Rebbe, the Sfas Emes, but I was wondering, what does it mean to feel cursed? We have to actually, let's talk a little openly. What does it mean to feel accursed, that one lives a cursed life? I mean, I had an idea. There were months of my own life where I felt cursed, but I wanted to see inside if I was right. And Baruch Hashem, I found the Breslover Sfarim say that what does it mean a person that lives a cursed life when a person walks around bitter? A person that has a feeling of bitterness in life, that's a cursed life. When a person's mind is contracted and is only able to see the negative in life and focuses on the negative in life and becomes bitter from life, that is living a cursed life. When a person is never satisfied with what they do, including how they serve Hashem, because they're always sad and depressed. Even when they do good things, they think it's not good enough. It's not what I wanted it to be. I wasn't able to reach the level that I wanted to get to. That's all part of being a cursed life, that a person feels cursed. To the worst extent that a person even starts cursing themselves and thinking that they're cursed, moment by moment, cursing themselves and being bitter about who they are as a person. And that is actually taking oneself away from God in the worst way. It's essentially almost like idol worship, the Breslover Sfarim say, because you're essentially denying God. Because if you believed in God, you would know that God is in you all the time and you are blessed. Every person has tremendous good in them, tremendous blessing, because God is in them and Hashem is in everything. And if you feel that you're superfluous to the world, that you're not necessary, that your life is bitter, that's not believing in God. That's cursing one's own life and not believing that God is in you. You should be dancing and singing because you know that God is in you at all time and you always are blessed. And that's what the Breslover Sfarim means to live a cursed life. And based on what the Ger Rebbe, the Sfas Emes, is saying, we have that ability from Eliezer, who actually was cursed somehow. But even so, because he served God with joy and he did his mission, even though maybe it's not what he expected, that Yitzhak should marry his daughter, it wasn't what he hoped, but he did it anyway with joy because he knew that whatever is asked of you, that's what Hashem wants of you. And if we're able to do that and follow Eliezer's footsteps and take the metaphysical power that all these verses have in this week's parsha, we could always sing and dance from the blessing of our lives, which is the fact that we are always with God every day of our lives. We just need to strengthen that faith and thereby live with joy every day. Good Shabbos.